Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Jacques Cousteau, a famous marine scientist and adventurer television host who produced beautiful documentaries in the 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond, and an old book I read about him in a holiday house which I stayed in the early 2000. That's this podcast, and I'm just going to just talk about this for a short while. So one of the things I love about these sort of cheaper holiday houses where you actually rent out, this is before Airbnb, you'd go up to the estate agent and they'd say, oh, look, we've got a few houses, and these people would rent the house, and the house would be absolutely chock-a-block. That's the Australian word for absolutely full. I suppose you have chock-a-block overseas. Chock-a-block full of these old books, so which I sort of absolutely loved. And so this holiday house, it was in Mollymook and South Coast, for us, the South Coast of New South Wales, a bit further down, Mollymook. Up this hill, we had this beautiful house. It was one of these, for us, it's a modern house, but it's a sort of an older house of two-story. The bottom story has got a bathroom, heaps of tile stuff, so when you come in, you just get hosed off to get the sand before you go in the place. And upstairs was a beautiful area. It was sort of a little staircase up, and a beautiful sort of wooden area with heaps and heaps of ornaments and books. And, you know, what a fantastic place. I do remember they had also lots of telescopes and binoculars, so you could look out over the sea and whale watch and look up at night. And the kids, I remember back then that the kids still had me eating sardines, so they'd push me out of the house and I'd have to walk down the end of this property. It was a fair way, not say 50 metres, which is pretty big for a seaside place, and sit there, and I'd be banished there to eat my can of sardines because it would stink the house out if I ate it. And I'd look up and I'd see the kids looking at me with these binos, just to make sure I didn't come near the house when I ate my sardines. But any rate, I went up there, and look, the number of these books are the sort of books that you see in garage sales and stuff like that, or church fates, these fantastic books that everyone says, what the heck is that book? And they throw it out. One was a book, was The Fish of Australia. And so, what could be interesting there? Well, it's, I suppose the fish that really caught my attention, we'll get to Jacques Cousteau in a short while, is the Tasmanian hand fish. And it's a fish, I think it's in the Derwent River, or it could be in Bass Strait. I think it's the Derwent River. And it's a red fish. Called here. I've actually don't know what's happened to my computer at this point in time, because I was going to YouTube it up. So I'll have to go off my memory because my computer's gone blank at the moment. Oh, it's having a good old think. I hope it's not completely crashing. Sorry about this, mate. But it's, you know, you turn the page and it's, the handfish looks like a hand, a red hand in a glove, walking along the bottom of the floor of the ocean. And so that's nice. And then the things like the hagfish, which is a fish which swims and goes up the anus of dead animals that fall into the sea. They go into the light side of the fish, and they produce copious amounts of slimy mucus. So you can, and they've got a horrible looking face. And there's these blob fish, you know, all these fish, which, you know, you just opened up this book saying, oh, you know, you used to go into the fish shop and looking at fish as I do. I've sort of also found out that I've asked the reason why all the fish in the fish shop are pointing towards you. And it's, the fact is that I was told that you have to look the fish in the face, because if it's got a glazed eye or a smoky eyes, it's no longer a good fish. So you can tell a rotten fish pretty much by looking at it in its eyes. But let's go back to this Jacques Cousteau book. And so Jacques, there's a book written by Jacques Cousteau. So Jacques Cousteau, you might, if you've been alive for a while, it's probably 50s or something like that, and you, on TV, that on telly, so to speak, there'd be these articles of this French guy going around speaking a heavy French accent, and you know, his big threat was having a scuba diving equipment. So he was one of the first people to scuba dive and film underwater. And I sort of remember towards the end, he was going around the Mediterranean, and then he'd go back to the Mediterranean years later, and there'd be nothing there. And so the impression I had at the end was someone who's deeply troubled by things. And so you read about it, and he was going to do a expedition up the Amazon in this particular book, and apparently there's a river, a city at the mouth of the Amazon, and he couldn't get past it. Was apparently it was very corrupt at the time he went through, so we don't know when this was, in the late 40s or 50s or something like that. He couldn't get through, but there was an opera, and the people there sort of kept him going through. This is just going off the memory of this book, so I found it fascinating that he was trying to get, he was into water, wanted to be on his boat going up the Amazon, looking for, so he's a diver going up the Amazon, and but he's got difficulty getting out of this city. I've forgotten, look, I can see the sort of the map. Like, this is years ago. I only saw it momentarily, but I do have the map and the name of this city at the mouth of the Amazon. So, yeah, whatever it is. And so he had difficulty getting out of the city because the wealthy people wanted to speak with him. So he was already famous in that part of Brazil. Hard to get your mind around that. And so there's various stories of him going up pages and pages. And then he comes across, so he's a person into diving, and he comes across these Brazilians, obviously in Brazil, Brazilians, and they're up the Amazon, and they have got diving suits on with motors and pipes, and they're all diving to the base of the Amazon. And this is, you can see there's an enormous excitement by this, that he's come up to this really, really super remote place, and these people are diving. You know, what are they doing? Well, they're going to the base of the Amazon and scooping up the mud for gold, because there's some gold in there, that area, and which is fascinating stuff. And you can see he's really excited by it. Of course, I wouldn't tell you about this unless there was some sort of major punchline, and that was he found that the people were actually at night murdering each other and cutting their pipelines. And it was just fascinating to read it, because here's this person wanting to spread scuba diving and the safety and encourage people into the water. And he finds this, he goes and studies and finds it, and he encounters this entire corrupt place. And look, and so he sees it, and so for me that was really lasted at me. And there were two aspects to it. One is that he had to journey through an extremely remote place and find that his world had been corrupted and taken a few turns and gone into it. But for me that was beautiful, because it was also another thing, is that this information I couldn't get off the internet. I would wonder, I'll pause for a short while and actually Google some of these things and report back to you at the end of this podcast. In that time, you had this sense of this vast ocean of information held in holiday houses throughout Australia, tucked away in shelves on these books that, you know, people would have, if they had enough time, turfed out. And inside it is a lot of this rubbish, but a lot of it's absolute gems of tiny information you can only get to. And so that's sort of like the sort of exploring that. If you go down to the bottom of the sea, and you're in the water, and you lift a rock, you know you can't walk up to a rock normally. It's a once in a lifetime to lift up a rock and see the animals underneath it. So there's a beautiful parallel between Jacques Cousteau going into the oceans and getting information out, and the sort of the intimacy of your experience in an ocean. So you can actually only experience sort of a visibility of, say, a meter around you, and you're in the most vast, say, the Pacific Ocean or something enormous like that. Or you have this world surrounding you of this scientific endeavor, friendship, all those high values, and you see these hallmarks, but when you actually get to it, there's the absolute amazing hallmarks for it. Well, I've just coming back from the wonders of the internet. So look at Handfish Tasmania. And so what's I've been told since I read this article, people have come to me and said, look, there's no such thing as a handfish. And it's even weirder than I remember it. Now, what's happened is, just quickly looking over it, there's fewer than 40 handfish left, and they've discovered one other handfish. A new population of handfishes have been discovered in January this year. So this is 10 or more years after I read about it, and also in the internet, which is sort of like a sort of a super ocean. You can actually do from 1982. So it's actually more reasonable. The a $4 million financed by television networks from around the world to explore the areas of wilderness. So this is when you're reading about it, and it's 71-year-old Jacques Cousteau, and I read it, just very few clips. It's Belhem, and so I remember huge passages from this book. So this sort of another analogy of the internet being something which changes the sea of information. That's pretty interesting. So I had this idea of, I used to just read this. I still do read. There are books that you read which are just not on the internet, or if you read a highly detailed thesis, you just go into it, and it takes a long while of reading through it before you hit pay dirt where you can actually read things that are in the thesis. Or the more incredible things is that you read these books and the author has missed understanding a critical fact, and they don't tell you this outright, and so you're reading it and you just go on, why have they missed the fact? And then eventually you realise that they haven't understood a particular aspect of it. Yeah, but in terms of a read, this is his report from his Amazon expedition in apparently 1982, but I think he was it's Belhem. I'll have another look whether this is in fact the insane port that this Jacques Cousteau spoke about. I've been speaking for 13 minutes, so I won't take too much, a little bit more. Well, it was absolutely remarkable. I've just been on Google Maps it's this place called Belhem, and I just had a look around it on Google Maps, and it certainly has developed a huge amount from the time that Jacques Cousteau wrote all about it, and it's the state of Para. Apparently you can see all these different fairly large, pretty amazingly huge states up there, and it looks as though, just looking at it, Brasilia is in its own capital territory, so I'll have to have a look at that. So that's the end of this podcast. I'm just using this as a quite a lightweight podcast because I've spent a huge amount of time, an embarrassing amount of time, shutting down a podcast on an exam and converting that over into a YouTube podcast. So I'll put that up at some stage. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.